Biscuits and gravy.
Hello, boys.
What does LP stand for?
Lizard people. Nazi whale margarine pirates.
So far, I've had 7 McRibs.
Bullabuck.
Pol Pot pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Like a slaughterhouse sangria?
Yeah. That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah. You got dialed on into the Truth Network, baby. This is the one, the only, the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
Yay.
Thank you so much for turning your radios on today. Thank you so much for being a part of the Biscuits and Gravy Nation. Thank you so much for letting me, Vince Foti, and our special guest, Shahane.
Hello.
Get radio smothered and covered on this fine Christmas almost morning.
And you guys are riding the gravy train.
We're riding the gravy train.
Is that a mason jar full of cold brew?
Yeah.
Nice. I've got one of those at my house.
Yeah. Also, they make sugar that has cannabis in it now. And it's just, you just scoop it in like you would sugar.
That's not good.
What is it, like activated THC?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it
cool.
It actually, it looks a lot like Miracle-Gro, though, because there's like green specks.
Be careful,
that
Chuck.
Sounds good.
Like fiery, vibrant green specks.
We're getting closer and closer to being able to do lines of powdered THC.
That's my dream! I'm so glad you brought that up. Let's just dive on into it, everybody.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
You were talking about that at the Christmas party.
Yeah.
I'd have a problem.
Why can't we better and better, right? It's gotten so frosty, baby. Why can't we blow weed? Why is there no weed blowing technology yet?
Could you imagine all of us with stuffed noses all the time? I can't breathe. I'm so high.
I would. That sounds amazing.
I mean, like, I don't know why they can't. You should try doing lines of your THC sugar.
Well, ooh, yeah. First of all,
you should do that.
Okay.
And see if it gets you high. Because if it's already activated and it can be absorbed into the bloodstream by you eating it, then theoretically you could also, I guess, sniff it.
Real booger, right? Sugar.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. So maybe you should try it. Also,
why isn't Chuck at D&D tonight?
Why am I anywhere? How am I anywhere?
What, did anything happen to you at Taco Bell last night after you pulled up?
No.
Oh. Did they didn't say anything to you?
They were like, we're supposed to say something to you.
Did they? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They called me Chuck, and I think my Taco Bell thinks it's Charles.
And they said they're supposed to say something to you.
Yeah, they're like, we're supposed to say something to you.
So for those of you who don't know, Shane was in front of Chuck in the Taco Bell drive-thru line last night, and he was like, hey, my friend's behind me. Can you say, like, hey, Chuck, how's it going?
What?
And then he also told them to say something that we can't repeat on the radio. And apparently they refused to say it.
Well, you don't have to be friends with the person behind you. You could just say that to anyone in line.
That's what we said. We said that would be a great
behind me.
Good friend of mine.
We said that would be a great prank.
Big.
Actually, it was a little.
Alrighty.
So
thank you.
It's cool to see that you've got that. That you got that cold brew in a mason jar. So
yeah.
I recently ordered something online.
Jack on stack, baby.
It's a huge mason jar. It's like one of the big ones.
Was it free?
No, I got it online on Amazon, and inside there's a cone. It's like a cone filter that sits in the water, and you put a bunch of like ground up coffee into the filter, and then you just put it in the fridge and let it steep for 2 days.
Heck yeah, man.
And then you have this giant mason jar full of cold brew in your fridge, and then it's got a little pour spout too. So once it's done brewing, you can just keep it in your fridge and pour out cold brew.
That's where some of the designs mess up, because I've seen some of those designs where people end up just pouring sludge into their drink.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're totally messing it up.
Why can't you just take hot coffee and let it cool down and put it in the fridge?
I also do that,
they're,
but it has to do with the acidity.
Yeah, because the reason why cold brew is different than just iced coffee...
We got facts here on KAKU.
...is because when you heat up coffee, it releases more of the acidity out of the beans, and which is why it can be a little bit more harsh on your stomach.
And that's why you're supposed to have like cream and biscuits with it.
Wait, right. What?
That's why you're not really supposed to drink. You're not supposed to drink coffee on like an empty stomach because it can hurt your stomach and also make you more jittery. But
I exclusively drink coffee on an empty stomach. I'm drinking 32 ounces of coffee on an empty stomach.
But also. Another fun fact is that when your tongue comes in contact with high acidic properties, it shuts down your taste buds. So when you drink coffee with lower acidity in it, your taste buds can actually taste the coffee better.
Whoa.
Which is why cold brew coffee tastes better, because it's not shutting down your taste buds.
Wow.
What?
Very cool facts here on Biscuits and Gravy.
Is that why ice cream's better than soup?
And so it takes a little longer for the coffee to steep into colder water. I mean, the reason that you use hot water is because it gets it into the water really quick, the same way that you do with tea. Mm-hmm. But if you let it steep at slow and low, that's how you get that good stuff.
I love iced tea too, man.
You guys ever have cold soup?
I've had cold soup.
Do you like cold soup?
I like some cold soup, but it doesn't... You know what? I don't like cold soup as much as I like warm soup.
Yeah, I made a cold soup for my Spanish class back in the day, and it was disgusting.
Okay.
How cold brew soup? That you were still in Spanish? This is like 7th grade or what?
9th grade, yeah.
9th grade? Okay, cool. All right. So the peak of human hygiene.
Yeah.
And then what period was it?
Probably 6.
So it was hot at the beginning of the day.
It was lukewarm soup.
Another way to make cold brew is use a French press,
mm-hmm.
Which I found works really well. But the only thing is, then all the stuff is down at the bottom, and you have to pour it out. And as you're pouring the cold brew out, it goes through all of the grounds again.
Yeah.
So you end up getting like a lot of like residual kind of sludge.
You get the sludge, like Vietnamese or Turkish coffee.
But you know what I've been doing?
You can put it on your teeth and pretend you're not have a tooth. That's funny.
You know what I like to do is after I'm done brewing my cold brew, I pour it through. Have you ever made Thai iced tea?
Yeah.
When you make Thai iced tea, there's like a net, and it's pretty much like a cloth that you pour it through to filter out all the debris and everything.
Am I missing a whole step on Thai iced tea?
It's almost like a cheesecloth. It's like I have this thing. It looks like a little butterfly net, but it's basically like a cheesecloth filter that you pour it through. And that's what I've been pouring my coffee through, so I don't have like all those like coffee grounds and sort of like sludge at the bottom. So I get just the good stuff.
Now, does your Thai tea stain your cheesecloth or your teeth? Because that's a huge problem for me when I make Thai tea. It's always staining me. I look like I ate in like red dirt.
So the strainer that I used for the Thai tea is like permanently orange.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it does.
It has its job now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing I use it for. But now I've been using it for my cold brew, and so it strains out all that residual stuff. So now I have just like the pure, no sludge, no grinds, no nothing.
Have you guys ever used a cheesecloth for cheese?
Yeah.
No.
It's a weird texture for me.
What are you doing with it?
I would try to make it our own mozzarella.
Okay.
Yeah, and guess what? It's way easier to buy mozzarella.
Yeah.
All right, step one, buy a gallon of milk. Step two, make 3 ounces of something disgusting.
Normally you use it for like weed butter or something like that,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. I like to do...
Weed butter's good. Sometimes when I'm making like a mushroom duxelle, if I'm going to make a beef Wellington, I'll use the cheesecloth to strain my mushrooms before I cook them.
I mean, paper towels.
Basically, the best thing to do is just cook your mushrooms for a really long time until they turn into a paste and you cook all the liquid out. But you can kind of take a little shortcut by using the cheesecloth.
It's almost beef Wellington time for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, beef Wellington's like a holiday type of thing. Yeah. So I usually make one around Christmas time. So it's almost that time of year. I only do it once a year.
I saw a really interesting recipe for an alternative take on beef Wellington. Do you guys want to hear it?
Sure.
On the Biscuits and Gravy show, it uses a pork loin, and you put Granny Smith apples with it.
What?
Yes.
Who came up with this? Rhonda? Rhonda would never do anything that involves that much cooking.
But I think I would like it. And you still use
pork
prosciutto.
Pork loin and Granny Smith apples.
Yeah. You shave the Granny Smith apple, or you could julienne them if you've got the time.
I thought you didn't like Granny Smith apples.
If you put it with prosciutto.
Mmm.
And
I do like that.
And the puff pastry.
I was looking at a menu of some place on Maui recently. It might have been Spoon and Key, but they had like a lamb Wellington on the menu.
Lamb Wellington.
I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a lamb Wellington, but yes, please.
Pacifico had a really good mahi-mahi Wellington.
We got that, and it was amazing.
It was the most perfectly cooked fish I've ever had.
That was so juicy, fantastic.
Without being overcooked.
Did Pacifico ever reopen?
No. I still have a gift card, though, so fingers crossed.
For that and Billabong?
Yeah. The Billabong wouldn't take it, man. Billabong's out of business, and they're going out of business, and I went there with an old gift card, and they said that because they got bought by some company the other year, they don't need to pay the people back that they bought it from, and that means that I couldn't use my gift card for a Billabong for $10.83, and it was the worst.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Not that you can get anything for $10 at Billabong anyway.
No, even the stuff at 80% off this must go was still heinously expensive.
Yeah, they double the price and then take 80% off, so yeah, it's still marked up instead of marked down.
Yeah, like this bathing suit is still $24. Still?
Now, I have a question for you, Shane. You just got back from like a month-long vacation.
I did, yes.
Yeah. While you and Rhonda were both gone and off island, Corky was on the show like 9 times. So we
hi, Corky.
We had a great season with Corky.
It was a great fall of Corky. And now we're happy that you're finally back so you can join us on the show once again. So we're happy to have you.
Thank
and
you.
How was your trip to Minnesota?
It was fantastic. A little long. Too long. Too long, to be honest.
Your voice is getting colder just talking about
Yeah,
it.
Burr.
Yeah.
Ugh.
We were talking about apples. There was a bunch of apple trees when I got there. And you guys ever just like take a bite of an apple and just chuck it?
I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do to all foods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you're in the parking lot of Mulligan's.
Yeah. Just like eating food
throwing it
into the woods.
Take a bite of a chicken wing and chuck it.
Yeah. And just chuck it into the
what
woods.
What a waste.
Yeah, no. But when you do, we had chickens in the yard. So I'd take a bite of an apple, I'd throw it, and then all the chickens would swarm it.
Wow. Do chickens like apple?
They love apples. I don't know if it's good for them, but they love it.
I mean, it's
stop throwing those apples at the chickens.
M&M's and paint grease.
I wonder if you can you feed can you feed chickens a certain diet to change the way it tastes?
They do that with pigs. Absolutely.
Yeah. And not only that,
because
but
can you have just straight apple-fed chickens? Because I feel like apple chicken would taste really good.
Yeah.
Let's get on the apple chicken technology.
So my dad was messing around with their diet, and got them to quit laying eggs because he was giving them too many vegetables. They need protein. They need, like, seeds protein.
They need protein to make protein because eggs have a lot of protein in them.
Yes.
So that's malarkey, not your dad, but I've seen eggs in the supermarket saying that these chickens have an all-vegetarian diet.
Your dad's malarkey.
No. I'm saying that chickens shouldn't be all-vegetarian.
Well, you can get protein from other sources, right?
What do you think? They're eating fried tofu? They're feeding the chickens tofu?
I wonder if there's less protein in those vegetarian eggs.
Huh. Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe they're smaller.
Does that mean vegetarians can't get pregnant?
They just look like little quail eggs.
I tried buying quail eggs like twice when I was at Costco and we had the great egg snafu a couple months ago. And then I kept putting them back because
what are people doing with quail eggs?
John Boy has them, but I think it's like a novelty item because it's just been in his fridge the entire time.
Quail eggs are really popular in a lot of like Asian cuisine,
sushi.
Especially with like sushi. Quail eggs really well with. However, I went down this quail egg rabbit hole one time.
Quail egg rabbit hole.
It is not fun. Quail eggs are, I tried to make like a bunch of hard boiled quail eggs, you know, like you get with sushi. And once you hard boil them, they're so hard to crack open and peel the quail eggs. Not only are they harder, like the shell is thicker,
yeah,
but it's like so tiny and it takes so much work to get like the equivalent of
you almost have to be Asian.
You have to have tiny little fingers. Just have factory kids in Taiwan making little hard boiled quail eggs.
My fingers hurt. No.
And it's like you cook them and then you like put them in a dollhouse because they're like, oh, it's a cute little.
I had 30 eggs for breakfast.
Dan Quayle's house.
It's like Gaston.
Gaston.
When I was a kid,
47 eggs,
I ate one dozen eggs every morning to help me get large. But now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs, and I'm roughly the size of a barge.
Wow, who can eat eggs like Gaston?
But yeah, quail eggs,
you
not
quail eggs,
not worth
like
the effort. They have, you know, they have them at Costco.
No, I haven't seen them.
If you go in where they have the eggs at Costco, where they have the eggs at Costco. When you go in there, on the right side, they always have the quail eggs there. But don't, I mean, it,
so much
it,
work.
It was fun for like a novelty one time, but it's way too much work.
Get the Oahu farm eggs. Those are yummy. Darker yolks.
I've never seen a quail farm. Huh. Have you ever seen a bunch of quails together?
No.
No. I mean, like on Maui, there's the Franklin quails that are yeah. that.
We got
like,
a country that got more quails.
Yeah, they just are wild on
would
the
you
island.
Eat one of the? Would you eat a Franklin egg?
A Franklin quail egg?
How yeah. small are those?
I don't know.
They're like jelly beans.
Yeah, it was like, would you beans. Like if you would like? Would you eat an egg from a chicken in the Costco parking lot?
No.
Like they look gross. I don't trust anything that's like. That's just like hanging out wild.
Like
that's,
an outdoor egg. Like
how,
an
outdoor, wait, wait, wait.
Outdoor how food. I don't trust outdoor like food.
Costco's also got that green water or that gray water that goes through it. You ever
that's
seen
even
that?
Worse.
It's a little too natural for me.
It's like all sewage leak.
I like all my stuff farmed and processed.
I mean, my favorite taco place is next to sewage thing.
Yeah, yeah. May it stay unnamed today.
What if your dad was just feeding the chickens like the peanut butter toast? Stale peanut butter
Shane,
toast.
So, and then you can get peanut butter chicken with the audience of what the peanut butter toast means.
I don't
to
know
family.
If we've ever covered this on the show before.
We haven't, and I'll address it in a second. But I would like to say what he was feeding those chickens is he was going to the store every day and going to the dumpster out back and getting all the food they were throwing away and whatever he couldn't convince my family to eat.
Okay,
he gave to the chickens.
So he's just feeding them slop like a pig farm.
Yes.
There's a guy that I work with who has a bunch of pigs, and whenever we have like the large buffet days for special occasions at the restaurant, he brings in a special trash can, and we put all of the food waste into a trash can. And I mean, it's a whole giant trash can that gets filled up with food waste, and then he takes that home and gives it to his pigs.
Have you ever seen his pigs? Does he have pigs?
He does have pigs.
He has five beautiful children.
He just takes them home to gives it to the chickens. It's like, those chickens don't look right.
Yeah, long pig.
But if we want to talk about the peanut butter toast real quick,
mm-hmm.
What my family does is they make toast, put peanut butter and onions on it.
What kind of onions?
I think sweet onions. They go for sweet.
Oh, like pickled. Like
raw sweet
raw
onions.
Raw onions.
And then they leave the toast out overnight so it becomes stale, and they eat it the next day. And it's like, they do this consistently, and they will fight over the toast the next day. Like, if you eat someone else's pre-prepared stale peanut butter onion toast...
That's taboo
that's
in the Nelson
taboo.
Household.
Very
Why
taboo.
Not just make two? And also, are they covering it? Do you not have rodents?
They don't cover it. There's no rodents. Like, we no couldn't ants. Do this here. We'd have ants and cockroaches
oh, yeah, yeah.
like that. But in Minnesota... Everything's dead.
Everything's dead. So it's dry aged stale peanut butter toast.
Yes, it's.
And now they've upgraded it to having onions. Because the original recipe wasn't onions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, the onions are new. And I have to imagine it was an accident. You know, like someone like tripped and like spilled some raw onions on it.
That's how Reese's peanut butter cups are.
Or also, I thought you were going to say eating it for the first time was an accident. Like that sounds like a stoner thing. Like you make toast and
forget
with peanut butter,
it.
And then you forget about
someone
it.
Left toast
you wake
out.
Up the next day and you're just like, what's the worst that can happen? I'll eat it.
And you take a bite. You're like, oh my gosh,
oh, what have I created?
Now, no one can know about this.
Are they toasting the toast first, or are they just leaving raw bread?
They're toasting it.
What?
Yeah.
Doesn't it become whenever you have like toasted stuff that's crispy. When it gets stale, it gets uncrispy. And stuff that's, like, soft when it gets stale gets hard.
Yeah. What's right? up with that?
So, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Does the toast get untoasted when you leave it out overnight? What's the texture like? Is it still toast, like, crispy like toast is?
I've never tried the peanut butter onion
or
toast.
Or does it get harder?
But I imagine it's, like, firm.
Okay.
But you've never tried it?
No.
Have you tried the OG peanut butter toast?
I don't think so, because here's the thing is I never was like, okay, I'm going to make some for tomorrow. But okay. Like I'd see them eating it, and I'd be like, no one wants to share it because it's this process.
Right.
It's like a beef Wellington.
It's very labor intensive. Yeah, a lot goes into it.
You wouldn't go eat so much beef Wellington.
You know how much work I put into that.
I guess everybody's family has their own little idiosyncrasies like that.
You got something?
I don't think... I think my dad used to make this ginger tea, And I tasted it one time, and it was the most terrible thing I ever tasted. So he never had any issues with anybody else drinking his ginger tea because I would, like, it was, like, repulsive. Like, you know when something's too gingery? Did you ever eat just, like, take a bite of, like, raw ginger and it's, like, spicy?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, ugh!
Yeah.
It was like drinking, like, raw ginger.
Ugh. Did you do that for a health move or what?
I think it was supposed to be healthy, but I've never seen anybody else do it, and I've only seen my dad do it, and I've never been able to consume it. I've never seen anybody else in my house even
try it.
Maybe
he's just, like, nauseated the whole time. Maybe he's, like, your dad is just constantly vertigo.
How about yourself? Do you have any weird stuff that they do in the Thompson household?
Big family thing is our brownies, we barely cook them. We get, like, the thinnest layer on top, just like a skin.
Just like a skin?
A skin. And then, but it's a process because we were taking the brownies out every 5 minutes and eating it, too. We're testing it as we're cooking it. And you eat about a third of the batter before you make the brownies. And we all do it together, sharing, like, one or two utensils.
So the oven's opening and closing throughout
the whole time. Yeah, so it's never... And also, I found out recently that the oven is not the temp. Not until it hits 500 degrees does it really even turn on.
Are you using pre-cooked flour?
No, it's like...
Because that's how you get salmonella. Did anybody ever get sick from eating the undercooked brownies?
No.
That's good.
We've been doing our whole life.
You know how they have, like, in the store, they have the edible cookie dough?
Yeah, all about
it. But if you buy regular cookie dough, it says on there not to eat it because you get salmonella.
And it says not to flush butt wipes, but, like, who cares?
Yeah, well,
stop coming to my house.
Stop doing that, Chuck. You're not supposed to do that. That's why there's, like, butt wipe icebergs, like, clogging up all the sewers. But the way that they make edible cookie dough is...
Butt wipe icebergs clogging up all the sewers.
They pre-bake the flour.
Yeah.
So that's how you make edible cookie dough because a lot of people think that it comes from the uncooked eggs.
Yeah.
But flour is actually a big source of salmonella.
We're going right from the box. We're getting the Ghirardelli's triple pack from Costco and going right on
You have sparkles on your face.
Do I?
Yeah. You went to the strip club last night.
Whoa.
I
am an ASMR. In real life or in the TV show?
In real life, there's a sparkle, like an actual, like, on your other...
You know what? I'm not going to mess with it.
Yeah, I would leave it.
I feel gleaming. Is it... Wait, hold on. Maybe it's from the sugar.
The THC sugar?
You got a little something on your nose.
You celebrated Thanksgiving while you were away, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how does, like, a Minnesota Thanksgiving differ from, like, an island Thanksgiving?
I mean, at Nelson's, we very rarely have turkey.
Very rarely, huh?
Yeah, we try to get another bird normally. This year...
I heard that you get the bird squirts.
I do get the bird squirts.
You get the duck squirts.
We ate two ducks, and I had a bunch of duck gravy, and I pooped a 10-year-old's bed.
Now, does duck gravy have, like, a higher quantity of grease?
It's oily and delicious. It's like...
Yeah, because I remember, like, you know, anytime I've had Peking duck, it's always, like, very greasy.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
greasy.
They deep fry it.
I covered my plate. My plate was, like, drenched with gravy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I was up all night long. It was very sick.
Have you ever seen duck gravy, huh? When it, like, hardens, it turns into Vaseline, pretty much.
I mean, a lot of fat does that, though.
You get a lot.
So, you guys are... Where do you source your ducks from? Are they just, like, frozen in the store?
It's from Aldi's.
Okay. So, you just get them frozen?
Aldi's.
And you have to unthaw them?
Yep.
I don't think I've seen frozen duck for sale on Island.
Island Grocery Depot has it, and Times has the breasts.
How about really goose? Nice. Have you ever eaten a goose?
For Thanksgiving? Yeah, absolutely.
Or in general? I don't think I've ever eaten goose.
When was the last time you ate a new bird?
When was the last time I ate a new bird? I don't know. It's been a while. Probably the last new bird that I ate was probably like a quail.
I just found out that Cornish game hens are just like a different... They're pretty much chickens. They're just younger and smaller.
Yeah, they're just small.
Yeah. Wait, I just found out baby back ribs are from babies.
They are?
Yeah, that's why they're so small.
They're from babies' backs.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're like, normally an animal that big would have huge ribs. Those are babies. But baby back ribs.
I don't know if I've eaten...
I thought it was like the edges that were smaller.
I don't know if I've eaten a goose in my life. I'm sure I probably come across it at some point. I have had crane. Was probably the last new bird that I ate was when you brought us that crane sausage.
Nice. Yeah, goose, I would say, might be my favorite bird.
Really?
My mouth just waters. It's 100% dark meat. Oh, like, the breast is dark.
That sounds good, actually.
It's so good.
It sounds juicy.
It's so juicy. All dark.
I wonder why we got away from that, because, like, back in, like, Victorian era times, you know, it was always, like, if you watch, like, A Christmas Carol or whatever, it's like, we're having a Christmas goose, right?
Well, I
so why did we get away from goose and transfer over to turkey? I know that turkeys were really big with, like, the founding fathers.
I'm guessing because goose are a migration bird. Yeah, so it's not a bird you can have in captivity.
They are hunting them.
They're traveling thousands of miles, and if you put them in captivity, they're probably not doing too well.
Wait, then how were they getting them in Victorian times?
Hunting them.
Killing them.
But how were they keeping them for... Because, all right, if the geese are flying south for the winter, then why would you be able to get a hold of them in cold weather?
Well, I mean, London's more temperate. It's like 60 degrees.
It snows in London, though.
Yeah.
The geese aren't hanging out in London in the wintertime.
Birds don't migrate just because of weather. They migrate because of food.
Also,
because now we could get them in the summertime and then freeze them. You could freeze them and thaw them out for Christmas. Well, how are they getting them back in the day?
This is the time of the year they're traveling, though. Like, right now, when I left Minnesota, the skies were packed with birds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe they didn't have to... keep them that
long. It's kind of like it's right around like Thanksgiving and Christmas is probably the best time.
Oh, so that's probably the last time that you can get them.
We get hundreds of crows in our
backyard. I love the sound of crows. It just like makes me think of Game of Thrones every time I hear one.
Lots of crows, yeah. The last time I saw like a bunch of crows was in...
A murder.
I think it was when I was in Tokyo.
Oh,
Japan's got
Japanese crows.
Japan's got a lot of crows.
Do they sound the same?
They're like, car, our car.
Guys.
So any other like interesting sides or anything that you did for Thanksgiving?
I will say another thing my dad's doing diet-wise. I'm sitting on the couch. He hands me a beverage. I take a sip. Grossest thing I've ever put in my mouth.
Oh my God.
And what he's doing is kefir, 1% plain kefir mixed with cold water. So it's just like...
Kefir.
Right? Is that how you say it?
Like kefir weed?
Like kefir lime?
Kefir like...
Or keef like weed crystals. Kefir, yeah. It's
stale
like
milk.
Kombucha? Oh, okay, that's gross.
It was disgusting. It was
what?
It tasted like rotten milk.
It's drinkable yogurt poop juice. It's like
I know that.
Yeah, and if you get the plain one and mix it with water, it's disgusting.
Wait, it's just unflavored. Because isn't there like a
sour
milk? Isn't there a kombucha, like a kombucha so champagne that's called kefir
there's
also?
There's two different ones. There's one that's more like a champagne where you feed it like figs and you need to have a kombucha starter. And it's all water, no dairy. And then there's another one from the Middle East.
That's a sour
that's like
dairy.
The worst like Greek yogurt you left in the backseat of your car.
Okay, but then there's the Japanese like milk juice that they have. I forget what that's called, but that's really good.
Yeah,
and they have strawberry version of it too. They have regular version and there's like a strawberry version. Those are both really good. I forget what that's called.
You mix the strawberry, it's a game changer. But there's a plain one that's just like,
oh yeah, like unflavored yogurt doesn't taste that good.
It's gross,
especially if you mix it with water.
Mint one, it's disgusting.
Ew, ugh. Mint?
Yeah.
Ew, like a mint yogurt?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's amazing what people will drink just because they think it's healthy.
Yeah. You know, it's healthy water and salads.
Dude, I should drink some water.
I got drinking
water right now.
That was something
I post-it notes like eat vegetables. You got to eat vegetables every day. It's a lot of work.
Are you doing that?
Yeah. It's a lot of
He's like, well, I read the post-it note.
It's a lot of work. You can't just count like a tomato and a cheeseburger as your vegetable.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, but so much work.
I'd say most Americans do.
Yeah. I get the Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts are good.
They're never as good at home as they are in a restaurant.
Asparagus is good.
Why can't you make them, like, have you guys successfully made them crispy at home, Brussels sprouts, like they are at restaurants?
Work. They're deep frying them at restaurants.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah. That's why they're good.
I tried air frying them, and I couldn't get them.
You know what you do? When you're making Brussels sprouts, there's a couple things I like to do. I like to make hurricane-style Brussels sprouts, which are fantastic.
Yeah.
Calais Lunchbox in town makes fantastic hurricane-style Brussels sprouts. And so I like to make them the same way when I'm at home. I don't air fry them. I'll cook them in, like, chicken broth or beef broth so that they kind of, like, steam up a little bit. Not completely submerged, but, like, I'll broil them with just a little bit in the bottom of the pan and cover it. so that they get like nice and soft when you steam them, and then they get infused with that flavor, which is really nice. But a really cool thing to do is, you have an air fryer?
Yeah.
So when you're cutting up your Brussels sprouts, you know how there's always a bunch of leaves that fall off?
Yeah.
You take all the leaves, toss them in salt, pop those in the air fryer. They become like these little crispy Brussels sprout chips.
Nice.
And it's a great snack.
Are you ever parboiling them and then like icing them afterwards?
I never parboil them.
You're icing them?
Yeah,
I like to steam them.
It's so much work, though. I do it with peas, too, where, like, you...
Peas?
Green beans. Like, you boil them for, like, a minute, and then you ice bath them.
Peas or green beans?
Green beans. I've been conflating them all week. It's been driving Chrissy crazy.
Well, peas come in a green bean thing, right?
Yeah!
You made like a weird pea salad that had, like, cheese in it. Do you want to describe to the folks at home what your pea salad was?
Yeah, it's like a mac salad with peas, cubes of cheddar cheese, and imitation crab.
Cubes, big old
and
cubes of cheddar cheese.
There's another variation they do of it where
it was like it was like four different things that I've never seen together. Like, I've never seen like peas with imitation crab meat. I've never seen mac salad with cubes of cheese. And somehow it was like four different things that I had never seen next to each other all in one bowl.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah. They do a variation where they take out the crab and they put chunks of ham.
Ooh.
And that's delicious.
I like ham.
I can see that.
I'm a big fan of
ham. It's delicious.
Still with the crab meat, too?
Without the crab. Everything else, the peas, cube, cheddar cheese, and ham with noodles.
I love imitation crab meat because like most of the time, whenever you use real crab in something, it ends up getting like this fishy taste to it, which is weird because crab is not fish, but imitation crab meat doesn't taste fishy, and it is made from fish.
Yeah, and it's just sweet. Yeah, it's a nice sweet.
It's so good. It's got the best texture, and it's like so much easier to like get a hold of and everything.
Is that one of the things where
imitation crab meat
is
great?
Better? Like synthetic oil is better than original oil.
Yeah, it's like how canned tomatoes are actually better.
Yeah.
Than like the fresh tomatoes that because the only tomatoes that they sell in the store are the most photogenic ones, but all the bruised tomatoes and everything that are actually really good because they can't sell them because they don't look good. Those are all the ones that go in the cans.
Yep.
And those end up being the best ones.
Man, I got some really good tomatoes on the mainland, like big ugly ones from like gardens.
Mainland
they gotta be,
tomatoes
like,
are
uneven grown.
It was so uneven and ugly, and
yeah.
I made toast.
I like when they have stretch marks, dude. You ever see a tomato with a stretch mark?
No.
They look so good.
That's because it was pregnant.
Yeah. You're like, oh, give me your tomato juice.
Now,
I
came up with a new post-Thanksgiving sandwich technique that I had never done before.
Whoa.
Okay, so... usually when I make a post-Thanksgiving sandwich, I just have all the good stuff and, you know, I'll layer it onto the bread and just eat it like that. But I came up with this slop technique where you kind of just...
How prey is this slop technique?
And also, one of my favorite things to do when I'm making my Thanksgiving sandwich is I mix cranberry sauce in with mayo. So I make like a cranberry aioli.
Whoa, and that sounds awesome.
And then I use that to spread onto the bread.
That sounds really good.
So that is
cranberry, like the jiggly Jello.
Yeah,
interesting.
Because the gelatin cranberry sauce.
Cranberry aioli.
If you like mash it up, it just turns back into regular cranberry sauce. It loses its form.
Crayonnaise.
So what you do is you like smash up the cranberry sauce and make a crayonnaise.
Mm. Wow.
What kind of bread are you working with?
This year I went with just regular like hoagie rolls.
Mm-hmm.
That I got, and that was really good. But usually, like I said in the past, I would like take all my ingredients and kind of layer them into the sandwich. But this time I decided to do sort of like a KFC flavor bowl where I just like throw everything like the mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, turkey, corn, everything into a bowl and put the gravy in there and just mix it into like a sludge and then just put the sludge onto the roll. Dude, it's amazing. It's game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen those videos where it's the chopped Italian sandwich, right? Where they take all the antipasta and then a lot of mayo, hot sauce.
That's
oil,
getting
vinegar.
Huge right now. People are chopping sandwiches like crazy.
Antipasta sando?
It's a really good way to double the amount of like condiments you have in it, which is not good if you're counting calories.
Yeah, with the slop sandwich, it stops everything from falling off because, you know, you can only fit so much stuff like onto the roll because then, like, you know, then
a little bit
of your stuffing falls off or some of your corn rolls off onto your plate, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you slopify it, then you're getting all the good stuff in every bite.
That's the irony, though, and that's the beauty of life. The
sloppy sandwich.
Those are the sloppy seconds.
Sloppy, you actually make a more structurally sound sandwich.
Yeah.
It's a glue. It becomes a glue.
Yes.
Of flavor.
It becomes a solution.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
Yeah.
You got it dialed on into the Biscuits and Gravy Show on KAKU, KAKU 88.5, the voice of
Gravy.
This is the Biscuits and Gravy Show. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping, baby. Thank you so much.
If you are listening to us on the radio, you're probably listening to us on 88.5 KAKU, the voice of Gravy. And don't forget that you can also flip on the old TV and watch us on Channel 55. We're live on TV right now, so go check that out.
Thank you for supporting community radio and community TV entertainment.
And also, if you are a fan of comedy, you can go check out some of the open mics that are here on Island. There's one every Monday hosted by friend of the show, Chino LaForge, down at PBCB, Paella Bay Coffee Bar.
That's in Paella!
And then there's one Tuesday at Vibe. And I actually did get to stop in very briefly to the one Tuesday. I got back from Oahu, and I got off the plane, drove directly to the open mic, because it was like 9 o'clock. I was like, oh, maybe I can just catch the tail end of open mic. And I got there and I was like the second person to go up. Shane was like just getting off stage. I haven't had too much new material to kind of work on recently, but there was a couple new bits that I was trying to flush out a little bit.
And so you nailed it.
Check it out. One's about 16-year-old girls.
Hey, speaking of which, caller number 5, you're live on the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
Hey there, boys. It's me, Bill Clinton.
Oh,
I knew it.
Bill!
It's Bubba himself. How you?
The big, beautiful Bill, baby.
How you been?
Now look, boys, read my lips. I did not have sexual relations with that man, Donica Lewinsky.
Yesterday.
I didn't do it yesterday, but today's a new day, though, isn't it, boys? God, you want to come up here and say hello? Hang on, he's finishing up.
Are you saying?
You know, there it is. Hello, boys!
So we've got both the presidents on the line. How are you doing there?
I'm doing great. Hang on. Okay.
All right.
Anyways, boys, like, I am the best at giving Bubba jobs. That's true. I can vouch for him. I mean, he's way better than Hillary. That woman gives Bubba jobs like her tax plan for the rich, just 30% tops.
Okay.
Monica, he takes it all the way to the base. I love my base. Opens up the throat chakra.
All right.
He also does this thing with his fingers. And I found out a shotgun to the prostate. That's why we have to protect the Second Amendment, boys. It's all right to bear arms and smelly fingers.
Are you guys in the Quiznos?
are you guys at the presidential Quiznos on Oahu?
We may be there. We may not be there. I cannot disclose at this time where our location is.
Yeah, because I heard that Donald Trump was good at handling footlongs.
I handle the best footlongs, boys. I'm telling you, I've got the deepest of throats.
Okay, well, that's great to hear. And so are you also here to squelch the rumors about Bubba being a horse?
Look, I never did anything with that horse, Bubba. But there are other horses that I have grown fond of.
All right. Well, we're glad to hear from both of you. We haven't heard from either of you in a while, so it's nice to talk to you guys.
All right, boys. Well, we gotta go. It was nice talking to you.
All right, howdy.
We gotta meet up with this cute twink I call Mondani. I love him because he's got Johnny in his name. He's a good guy. I love that guy so much. All right, boys. Goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye, all right. Friends. That was a lot.
That was a lot.
Hey,
it felt like there was two of them.
Yeah, they're always on vacation. Can you imagine them like? like, right. arguing over leftovers.
And that presidential call was brought to us by Robert Redfer's Red Fir Trees. For the best red fir trees, they're the natural choice.
Funding for the Biscuits and Gravy Show comes in part by Kim Kardashian Sunscreen. Hey, Shane, why don't you put on Kim Kardashian Sunscreen? Nobody knows more about getting pounded by rays than Kim Kardashian.
Today is also brought to you by Michael Douglas Furburgers. Warning, may cause throat cancer.
Okay.
Funny for the Biscuits and Gravy Show and support for KAKU 88.5, the voice of gravy, comes by our dear friends down at Christoph Waltz's dance studio. Do you want a tango like Django? You'll be in glorious dancer down at Christoph Waltz's dance studio.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. All right, Biscuits and Gravy Show, the Biscuit and Gravy Boys. Now, whether you're out there at work,
in your car,
or crocheting in your bathtub, thank you for getting it dialed on into the Biscuit Boys. This is not NPR. This is BGR. And we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. We're going to finish today's episode off the lovely segment we call Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo. We're going to talk about peanut butter sandwiches for 18 minutes. Again!
I mean, this might end up being an entire Gluttony Club episode.
There's so much gluttony go around. Oh, I want to talk about the downside of apps. I got a chuck it list.
I want to get around to that, but did you try any of the flavored Oreos that we had for Thanksgiving at my house?
Yeah,
we had an apple pie Oreo, which was really good. It had a nice, like, kind of cinnamon flavor to it. And then we also had a blueberry pie Oreo. And I got to say, the blueberry pie Oreo was pretty fantastic. It's the golden Oreo. So it's like a vanilla Oreo cookie, not a chocolate cookie. But it was like a vanilla Oreo with like a blueberry cream in the middle of it. And they only sell them around the holiday times. They were pretty fantastic, I got to say.
My one critique, though, is that I wish they would take it one step further. And I would still do one chocolate side, one blonde side with either of the different fillings. I want it half and half, baby.
A chocolate and blueberry is good.
Chocolate
and
blueberry would be so good.
Were you putting these in milk or eating them raw?
I was just eating them straight up.
I don't think I've ever had milk in your house.
Oh, we have milk from time to time.
Yeah.
I mean, Oreos deserve milk.
We don't have
normal Oreos.
As a matter of fact, if I'm buying Oreos, I will buy milk specifically to go with the Oreos. So we don't eat cereal every day, and Diana's lactose intolerant, so if I buy milk, it's usually because, like, I'm in the mood for cereal. Every once in a while, I get, like, a Cinnamon Toast Crunch craving, so I'll buy cereal and I'll buy milk. I also like buying milk to make milkshakes with.
You spoiled little boy.
Because I love making milkshakes every once in a while as well.
Who do you think lives better, Vincent Fodi or a king from 112 years ago?
Vince.
No, I mean, most people on the planet live better and have access to more awesome stuff than kings from 100 years ago.
Isn't there a shake from Jack in the Box you love?
The cookies and cream milkshake from Jack in the Box. Chuck got me
Oreo.
Hooked on that.
Which, it used to be $2. I'm going to talk more about that later on my Chuck It list.
You know what? Let's get into it right now, because Shane was talking to me about how you tried to get him to download the Taco Bell app, and I gotta say, I have been severely disappointed with a lot of the fast food apps. First of all, I tried downloading the McDonald's app. There is nothing good on the McDonald's app. There's like no deals. Everything's expensive now, and I stopped going to McDonald's altogether a while ago.
I will say one good thing about the Taco Bell app is my buddy got it, and he didn't have sour cream on his taco, and he messaged the app, and they refunded his money right then and there.
I've never had that happen to me.
Oh, really?
That's it. I want to go to this Taco Bell.
Usually it's all sour cream.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I mean, I've never seen them be stingy with the sour cream. I love sour cream.
They've been stingy like the last few times for me.
Really?
Yeah. They're chilling on the Chipotle sauce, too. I hate it. Have you got the new steak poblano?
No.
Melted first of all, they're like, it's not a quesadilla.
The steak wraps and stuff are all like way more expensive than they used to be as well.
You can also add steak for $1.50 to anything.
Nuh-uh.
And then, or you can pay $8 for something that would cost. I just get the $2 burrito and then I customize it.
Yeah.
Add some chicken and stuff.
Add it up, baby.
That's how you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And then also the Jack in the Box app has been a huge disappointment.
Outrageous, dude. It used to be 2 for $5. It was 2 for $6. Then it was 2 for $7.
They used to have really good deals on there. And then I went on there recently to check out what deals they had. And they're like, oh, here's our special deal right now. We've got 2 tacos for $2. It's like, wait, that's not even a deal. That's like how much they normally cost.
It used to be 2 for $1.
It used to be like all two. The time on it the used menu. To be like 2 for 99 cents, and that was something that you could do all the time, even without the app. And now they're like, oh, if you have the app, you can get this special thing. And then I recently got a Buttery Jack, which I hadn't had in a while.
It used to be good. Guess
and,
what?
And it was the most disappointing burger of the last 10 years of my life.
Oh my gosh!
I got it home and I opened it up. It was so small. And it had a little dollop of sauce on it, and there was like nothing else on there. I was like, this is pathetic. Like the Buttery Jacks used to be like this big, like nice
burger.
It was
an event. Like you're going home for an event.
Yeah, I'm like,
maybe
man,
your
I can't wait to get
just
it home.
Got twice as big. Is that possible?
Let me see those hands.
It's definitely a shrinkflation. And then
how about the point system?
Here's
though?
The worst
this
part.
Is what
so
drives Mikey.
The number one thing. This is the greatest thing about the Jack in the Box app is that their point system was fantastic. Every time you got a decent amount of points, one of my favorite things was for 50 points, you could get the Ultimate Cheeseburger, which is a great deal because the Ultimate Cheeseburger, if you try to buy one off the menu, it's like $8 or $9 for the Ultimate Cheeseburger, which is way overpriced. But you could get one for 50 points. And they're pretty generous with the points that they give you when you order food at Jack in the Box off the app. So I went on there, and recently, since September, okay, back in September, I ordered one, and I got a free Ultimate Cheeseburger for 50 points. You know how much it costs on the app now? 2,000 points.
Oh, my gosh.
2,000 points.
That's why I don't mess around with airport miles. They're
it went
like,
up,
oh,
it,
here's 10,000 miles.
It went
oh,
up
cool.
by 2,000%.
2,000%.
It's an insane increase. Like now there's no point in even trying.
There's no point.
There's no point in trying to even get any rewards anymore from Jack in the Box. And so between them completely inflating the point system and also the quality of the food jumping off a cliff, I feel like this is the end of Jack in the Box.
Is this a breakup? A live breakup?
I feel like Jack in the Box in Hawaii doesn't use the right size buns. Not only are they charging us more, but they're using smaller buns and the cheaper patties for what should be the bigger ones, the big, big boy patties.
I have never been this disappointed across the board by fast food places in a very long time. And I think I'm getting to the point where like I might just only start making burgers at home now. But you know what? I do have to say, all right, I recently ran into somebody that worked at Spoon and Key. Have you ever been to Spoon and Key?
Yes.
Over by Manoli's?
Oh, yeah.
I went and got their burger like a month ago.
Okay,
and you didn't tell us about it?
The person that worked there told me that they have possibly the best smash burger on the island. And I don't take that lightly, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll see about that. And I went and I got the smash burger. And, you know, Spoon and Key is like a gourmet place. It's a very fancy, ritzy place. The burger was like a $30 gourmet burger.
It comes on like a platter.
I came home. It has like a cloche on top of it, like a French waiter. And I got it home and I took a bite of it. I was blown away. It was like one of the top three smash burgers I've ever had in my life. And I would put it in the running for one of the best smash burgers on island. How did you feel about the burger?
I'd say it's a top five on Maui.
So it's got not just a Wagyu, but it's a dry-aged Wagyu. They have this toasted brioche bun, but the bun is also seasoned with like this grill season. So even when you bite into the bun, the bun has this fantastic flavor. There's 5 slices of pickles on it. Because usually, you know, a place that has pickles, they'll put like 2, maybe 3 pickles on.
Yeah.
There was 5 slices of pickles on there. The sauce that they put on there is great. But here's the kicker, okay? The smash burgers are supposed to, when you smash them down and cook them, a real smash burger is supposed to have fried onions underneath, and they smash the burger onto the onions.
Yes.
Which a lot of places don't really do.
The onions that they use, that they smash down, are sautéed onions, but they're sautéed pickled onions.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the onions, not only are they sautéed onions, but they have this like nice kind of like little
brine
zing to them. And when you taste the onion, you can, it really pops. And I've never had pickled sautéed onions on a burger.
I had no idea.
In my life, it blew me away, man. I really got to say, like, if you're gonna pay $30 for a burger,
was that a $30 burger?
Before, I would have told you to go over
Did
the Burger
come with
Boys.
Fries?
It came with a salad, which I was like highly offended by when I got home and saw, because there was the burger in one box and then there was another box, and I just assumed there was fries in there. When I got home, it was a salad, and I was like, you already lose a point for that. But then when I tasted the burger, I was like, holy cow, dude. So before, I would have told you to go to Burger Boys for an expensive burger, but Spoon and Key,
yeah.
I was really
Pine
impressed
court,
dude.
I didn't know
too.
It was a 30. My buddy treated me to a burger there. I didn't know it was $30, wow. Dude.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
Would you rather get a $30 burger at a fancy restaurant or a $30 Mexican meal at a normal Mexican restaurant?
You can't get these Mexican meals anymore, dude. Like the ones where like $30 used to get you a bunch of Mexican. Platter. Now it's like it's nothing. It's a plate.
What?
And you can smash a plate, dude.
Oh, no.
Unless you got a spot I don't know about.
Now, here's a question for you guys. Do you want to play a quick game? Or we only have like 5 minutes left for the show. Or do you want to do spoiler alert?
Let's do spoiler alert. We always cut out spoiler alert.
Okay, so I haven't seen you in like a month. Have you been watching anything good? Anything new?
I watched Your Honor, which...
With Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, the first 1.5 seasons are fantastic. There's only 2 seasons, but it does end a little...
I watched the first season, and I enjoyed it, and then I didn't even know that there was a second season, and so when you told me there was a second season, I was like, whoa, I gotta go check out the second season.
Yeah.
Is it dark?
So like, you're saying visually, it kind of falls off halfway through the second season?
It does fall off, but it was still good enough that now I'm having a hard time finishing Mr. Robot. Like, I still have to watch Mr. Robot, and it's...
Oh, you never finished Mr. Robot?
Uh-uh, and it's not holding up to what I just watched with Your Honor, so it's like not pulling me back in.
Mm. Mr. Robot, I mean, it's only 4 seasons.
Yeah, I'm on season 3, and I'm just not...
And it stays pretty much pretty good quality throughout the entire show, Mr. Robot. So
it's a USA show.
Yeah.
You think I should buckle up and just
get back in? Buckle down, finish it off, and then you'll be glad that you did.
Doesn't that happen sometimes you rewatch It's Always Sunny? You got to watch a couple episodes.
I watched it last night.
The groove, and then you're in the groove for a while.
Yeah.
When they're preparing to go on air in the latest season. So funny. So funny.
Is that on Hulu?
Yeah. It's your account. Yeah.
The season finale of South Park is going to air tonight.
Yeah.
So it's season 28, episode 5, or it's the end of this 10-episode run that they're doing for this season. I'm really looking forward to it. Satan's finally going to have his baby tonight.
Wow.
So,
oh, my gosh.
So I'm going to definitely tune
and
in
Trump's
for that.
Out with Bill Clinton.
Thank you for being our DM, even though it's an important night for you.
I know. It is a big night for me on multiple fronts tonight.
Can I watch the last episode when I go over tonight?
If you come over early.
The last episode of South Park?
I might have some stuff to do, but I can definitely put it on a flash drive for you, much like I do with Pluribus for Corky.
You're too good to me, baby.
And I got
to
say that I have been loving Pluribus. If you guys have Apple TV.
Pluribus.
If you guys
Pluribus.
Have Apple TV, you guys got to go check out Pluribus. It's probably my favorite show on TV right now.
Wow.
Absolutely fantastic. Are you aware of what
Corky
it's about?
Corky told me about it, and she's like, why is the one show I watch a show that no one else is watching?
I know, it's so good. So
I'd like to head down.
I have a feeling that it's that Rhea Seehorn, the main actress in it, is probably going to end up getting either a Golden Globe or an Emmy nomination for it, and then that'll shine a little bit more light on the show, because right now not a lot of people even know about the fact that it exists. So I'm hoping that the show becomes a little bit more popular, and then there will be a little bit more of a groundswell of people watching and talking about it.
Where can I watch that?
Apple TV.
Ted's
or
House.
If you give me a flash drive, I'll put all the episodes on a flash drive for you. That's what
nice.
I do for Corky.
I'll bring the Mr. Robot. I love that you gave me Mr. Robot on a flash drive because it looks so suspicious.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, and also
for 2 more weeks.
HBO just announced that their dramatic Emmy award-winning series The Pitt is going to be premiering season 2 in January. So January 8th. So
didn't Netflix just buy HBO and like everything? Netflix own everything now?
Yeah, Netflix kind of owns everything. But HBO still acts as its own sort of entity, even though it's owned by whoever its parent company is at the time. And they are still continuing to put out quality content. The Pitt was one of my favorite shows of the year. It won an Emmy for Best Dramatic Series. Noah Wiley's in it.
He's
and,
so handsome.
I can't wait to see season 2. It's a fantastic show, and it's coming back on the 8th. So we're less than a month away from...
I hope they're well-rested after season 1.
All right, and now it is time for Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo.
Good, I really have to pee.
And Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo is when Chuck tries to prove that he's the smartest buffalo in the room. Ding. Our first question comes from...
Hey, bring that over here.
Our first question comes from Bonnie in Townsend, Maryland. Bonnie wants to know, who played the teacher in the 1989 movie Dead Poets Society?
Who's Robin Williams?
Robin Williams is correct. You guys may have noticed I forgot the soundboard today.
My captain.
So we're doing everything without the soundboard. Our second question comes from Cliff in Reno, Nevada. Cliff wants to know, what is the Mandela effect named after?
The Mandela effect is named after Nelson Mandela, who everyone thought died, but he didn't. Well, he did now, but
when,
they thought, he, was, they thought he died in prison.
When did he die?
They thought he died in the
90s. Prison is correct. Very good. All right, and our third question is always a sports question because, as you know, sports is Chuck's Achilles hoof. Denise in Kahului sent this one in. What is the name of Ohio State's football team?
The Ohioans.
I would Shane? Guess Buckeyes.
The Buckeyes.
No. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't know. We
right.
give up.
Guys, give me an answer.
Who are the Right Wings, the Red Wings, the Sea Devils?
Shane?
Buckeyes is the only Ohio team I could think of.
Buckeyes is correct.
No way. Really?
And
nice.
You got 3 out of 3, which means collectively the two of you are the smartest buffalo
yeah.
alive.
It's a Christmas miracle,
and
baby.
That also means that that's the end of our show.
But not the end of Biscuits and Gravy, baby. We catch you 24 hours a day at BiscuitWars.com. Stay tuned. We got another special guest next week and a lot of holiday cheer. To spread.
Oh, yeah. Next week will be our 450th episode.
Yeah!
So it's been quite the run, and we can't wait to see you guys next week. And from me to you,
hello!